love the Lord tonight. Oh, amen. Hey, yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing amen to the word again. Amen. Hallelujah. One more time now. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Tonight, Brother Brian and Brother Mike Galvez, would you please come now? And the name of the song, Blessed Are You. Amen. You believe you're blessed tonight? Amen. God bless you, brother.
Like a heart pursued by his evil foe, he knows well to stay near that brook where the waters flow. So planted my soul after you, the living. I know well to stay near that river where living waters flow. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are you, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you when men persecute you, for my name's sake you see. Blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. There is a deep, child of God, a child of I Am. Know that the great I Am now dwelleth in you. You heal this place just as great today as he was yesterday. For oh, blessed are you, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are you, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you when men persecute you, for my name's sake you see. Blessed are you. Blessed are you, blessed are you. In the midst of the night, we saw an amber-colored light, a light of yellowish green. Is Jesus on the sea, come to lead his elected Jesus. beyond a riven veil. On peaceful waters the ship now sails, no more tossed to and fro by stormy winds that blow. He has anchored our souls. Oh, blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are you, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you when men persecute you for my name's sake, you see. Blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you.
Are you happy? He's talking about us. Blessed are you. Blessed it's me. So you, would you please stand? Let's sing that I am happy tonight. Happy today. Maybe the devil might try to tell you you're not happy, but we're happy. We're blessed. Amen. We're so happy to be back. We just got in today with our brother Ken and brother Steve. We had about 29 hours on the road, but we feel fine today. Amen. Feel like we're in the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. We believe that He is here because He promised. Amen. And we I'd like just to say that I bring greetings from the brothers in Mexico, Mexico City, San Luis Potosí, and Guadalajara. The brethren there, they send their greetings to you, and they're very much under expectation to be here for the meeting, so you pray for them. Amen. And so we had a wonderful time there. Amen. My heart is just rejoicing of the tremendous work that we've seen. It was just a short, quick work of the Holy Ghost using our brother Elias, brother Vin, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So God bless you. Let's sing. We're happy tonight. I am happy today. Amen. If you're happy, let's sing. I'm happy, yes. He has taken off.
And I'm happy today. Oh, so happy today. So happy today. Praise Jesus, my Lord, I'm happy. He has taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. Oh, I'm happy today, so happy today. With Jesus, my Lord, I'm happy. He has taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today.
Amen. Not only do we sing that we're happy, but we are happy. Amen. If you're not, you're missing it. The prophet said you are an heir to joy. You are an heir to happiness. He said you have a right to be happy. You have a right to be happy. Isn't that wonderful? So blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to welcome our visitors this evening. Brothers from Trinidad that are here with us, Brother Steve Walters and Brother Brian have been singing here with us, and Brother Ken, we want to welcome you. God bless you, brother, and may God bless all of you that are here. Maybe I missed some of the visitors. I see Brother Joe Green and Brother Fred Barker here with us. I want to welcome you, brothers, and all the rest. Maybe I don't catch you, I don't see you right away, but we want to welcome all of our visitors, and we want to welcome everyone that is here, and we also want to just worship the Lord. I know you've made the Lord welcome already. Is He welcome? Amen. Is He welcome? Let's give Him a hand clap then and see if He's welcome. Let's make Him welcome into our hearts. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming to be here with us. Thank you for coming here. Two or three gathered in my name, he said, I'll be there. So we welcome our Lord Jesus Christ to give him honor and give him glory. Worship the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. We're happy to have our brother John Chacon back. He says he feels real good. But his lights look a little deep and a little shadows there, but he's here. And we're grateful the Lord brought him back and to be with us. Amen. We must remember our brother Art Manzanares, who is in the St. Joseph Hospital. He's listening to the message. This seems like if one comes out and another one goes in, and another one just talked to me that he's getting ready to go in too. So I just said, Lord, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, you just don't know. But we know that God is in control of everything. Amen. It seems like if every day we get bad news and everything, this is going on. But, you know, those are just things that happen here in life, and they're just temporary. They really don't mean that much. When you have a hope, when you have something real inside of you, that doesn't mean anything. So let's keep our eyes on those things that are positive, those things that are good, those things that are precious unto us. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that madeth, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. God is so good. He's so good to me. Once again, as we worship him now, I love him so. Why don't you let go tonight and just love him? Make it a love affair. Just make it a love affair. He's come here to love you. Won't you love him now in return? Oh, God. It's so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I love him. I love him. Amen. I love him because he first loved me. Would you turn around and shake somebody's hand? Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Make somebody welcome. I love him. I love him. Remember, it's a love affair, the reason that we're here. Because he loved us. We love him. Amen. I love him. He loves you, and you love your brother. Shake his hand. Tell him I love you, brother, and may God bless you. Amen. I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Just my salvation. salvation on Calvary. Once again now, I love him, I love him, because he first loved me, and purchased my salvation on Calvary. Yo le amo mientras le amamos. Yo le amo. Yo le amo. Porque a mí me amó. You love him? It's got to be a love affair. He loves you already. He's there. All you have to do is return your love back to him. That's all you have to do is surrender. It's a very simple thing. The prophet said, it's just like faith. He said, just very simple. It's just like taking a drink of water. It is just the most simplest thing there is. He's already done it all. He's paid the price. He's done everything. And there he is just loving you. May you just surrender yourself to him tonight. And then you'll know. Then you'll know his love. Not just mentally, but it'll become a reality in your life. Happy to have our brother Vin Dayal here from the island of Trinidad. Just as soon as he got out of there, they had an earthquake. So, but everybody's okay up there. And they've been in Mexico, having meetings there in Mexico City and San Luis Potosí and Guadalajara. The Lord has really blessed them. It's what I've understood, how God has moved there. And so we're just grateful to the Lord that the Lord has allowed our brother to come and be with us here tonight. Tonight is the 18th of March. And probably many of you are aware, you know, that 25 years ago was when the Lord broke the first seal. The Lord himself broke that first seal 25 years ago. You know, we should be under expectation always in everything, because God is in everything. And it's little things that God sometimes just to show us that he's mindful of, that he's with us. And, you know, we're not here to tell you anything special about that, but I'll tell you what, the breaking of that first seal, it was very special. And so was the breaking of the seventh one. Amen. The breaking of the seventh one. He himself here among us, in us through his revealed word, manifesting himself to get us out of this pest house. Isn't that wonderful? The thing that he wandered all his life, the prophet said, is here, he said. And to think that God would come down and open up that seal. What is it? The redemption. That he bought at Calvary. That he had before the foundation of the world. He's come in this generation, in your generation. Just think of that. In your generation. To bring forth the finality of that redemption plan of God. We are living in the final hours of the redemption plan of God. May we just enter into it and say, oh God, let it be. Here we are. 25 years ago, you broke it, and here I am. I'm still here. Abraham waited 25 years as a pilgrim and a wanderer, going from place to place and waiting. His own body mocking him, and he himself receiving people's just not understanding, doubting it, and even his own wife just doubting it. But yet he stood there, and God was true, and God is faithful. Do you believe that God is faithful? Amen. Then as our brother comes, we're just saying, I love you, Lord, I love you. Then in my generation, you broke that seal that many people would have loved to have been there, would have liked to be partakers of those years when the seals will be opened. And here they are, the last one broken up, and you're caught up in it, becoming one with it. Isn't that wonderful? We should be able to sing, I love him, as our brother Vin come now to bring us the word of the Lord. Amen. I love you. I love you. Because he first loved me.
And purchased my salvation on Calvary.
One more time. Let's lift our hands in the building. Let's sing it unto him. Lift our voices.
Love him. I love him. Because he and purchased my salvation on Calvary.
Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes with a prayer? Oh, precious Lord Jesus, from the depths of our hearts tonight, we express, Lord, in sincerity, we love you. We appreciate you. So thankful, Lord, that you first loved us, gave yourself to be a propitiation for our sins. Send back the Holy Spirit, Lord, into our hearts and lives. Lord, here tonight, you provided a time for us to get come and fellowship around your precious word. We're looking forward tonight, Lord, you would speak to our hearts. How it is so necessary in this hour. Lord, as we see the day approaching, time running out, we come with attentive ears tonight. We come with an open heart tonight. Lord, especially me, I just come yielding myself, humbling myself before your great presence. Lord, you could just take me and make me a channel of communication to your people. Your thoughts could be expressed. The Holy Spirit could take the word and place it out in such a way, Lord, I would create a great faith in the hearts of your people in this hour. Faith sufficient for this hour, Lord. Bless each and every one of us tonight. We commit the message into your hands, asking your divine leadership and direction all that we undertake to say and do. May it assist your people and may it bring glory to your name. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God, we shall bless you tonight. Certainly happy to be here in the house of God. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 speaks of seven great feasts. First one is the feast of the Passover, in verse 4 and 5. Then the feast of the unleavened bread, verse 6 to 8. And the feast of the first fruits, verse 9 to 14. Then the feast of Pentecost, verse 15 to 22. We want to begin reading from verse 23. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, For you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Then we want to continue on under the Feast of the Atonement, verse 26. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, also in the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. Notice the Feast of Trumpets is the first day of the seventh month, and the Feast of the Atonement was the tenth day of the seventh month, 9 days after. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it is that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it is that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no man of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month, at evening, from evening unto evening, shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And then unto the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. The Lord has blessed the reading of his word. You may have a seat. Well, I bring you greetings from back home, and certainly thankful for the opportunity to be here with you over this weekend, and even to speak to you and have a time to greet you and shake your hand and just be here with you in service for the Lord. And we certainly have been having a wonderful time in the service. We've been in Mexico City and San Luis and Guadalajara. And then I went to Sierra Vista. And now I'm here. And I'm certainly always looking forward to being here. Whenever God would provide the opportunity, you know, he has a special place in my heart since 1981. I believe I was here. And it's certainly been a great blessing to be associated with you in the faith, especially God's servant and the pastor here, Brother Isaac, and you know, then Brother John and myself, we were there together in Mexico, and he was there in Trinidad recently, and we certainly have been really receiving a great blessing from the Lord at this present time. And, you know, I've been preaching a lot and preaching a lot of different things, and coming here tonight, I wanted to just kind of get relaxed with myself and, you know, just speak a little bit and take my time, because there's a certain thing upon my heart that I would like to bring to you, and that might be a blessing and might be a great encouragement to you. And I was in prayer and study, and I'm hoping to take the 3 services tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday morning to bring this message to you. And I want to preach a little bit out to the 7 trumpets in the book of Revelation. And it's been a great subject, a very difficult one for me to grasp over the years. And I begin to see the Holy Spirit just being so gracious to kind of open it up to me, and I've been preaching it back home. So it was upon my heart at this time. I would like to speak to you and trust that will encourage you in God's promise for this hour, cause you to, you know, really stand and be real fortified. And I would like you to turn over in the book of Revelation, just take a glance, because we'll be doing this back and forth throughout the night, maybe going from one scripture to the next. I'd like you to look in your Bibles and, you know, kind of follow me out. And see how the Lord will show it unto us. So I want you to get a little familiar with a lot of the terminology here in the scriptures, because you know, once you go to speaking in the book of Revelation, you begin to get into the different terminologies. If a person is not really too familiar, you know, they'll be hearing a lot of words and they really would not be really catching the picture. So I just want to go through a little portion here in Revelation 8 that we could just acquaint ourselves as we begin to speak on these things. I believe is a real great message laying inside these seven trumpets. But Abraham says it don't pertain to us. It pertains to the Jews. But we know that Israel is a type of the bride. And there are many things in the seven trumpets that is relevant to us at this time. If you notice in your book, Revelation 8, verse 7, is the first trumpet there. And it's, we can just read it and you follow. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Notice that the earth, the trees, the grass, and the third part. And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of ships were destroyed. The third part of everything, but it moves now from the land to the sea. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And that's the fresh water. Over here we have the salt water, the sea. Over here the fresh water. And verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, like the heavenly bodies, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. I wanted you to notice something there. How was the sun, moon, and stars smitten? It was darkened. That's how it was smitten. Because when we think about the sun, if my information from my study is correct, I think the sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. And I think it's four times further away than the moon is from the earth. You know, in Genesis, when God made the sun and the moon, the two great lights, greater light was to rule the day, the lesser light was to rule the night, and the stars was for signs and for seasons. And because the Bible said God created heaven and earth. And if you notice, what we have looked at here has been the trees, the earth, the sea, the rivers, and the sun, the moon, and the stars, which is the creation that God created in the book of Genesis. Amen? So, it's all being smitten. The trees being smitten, the earth being smitten, the sea being smitten, the rivers being smitten, the heavenly bodies being smitten. And then verse 13 it says, and I beheld and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Four had sounded, and three was going to come again to song. For seven trumpets. The first four was just dealing with the creation. The last three is to the inhabitants of the earth. So you see what we're looking at here? We're looking at man in his environment. Man upon the face of the earth. And then the chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And that star is a person, it's called him. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them were given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. So here we see again, they're speaking about the creation. But only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die and shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared unto battle, and their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men, and they had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. And I'm sure many of you reading the messages have been familiar how Brother Bram says those locusts with hair like women are going to come to haunt those women that cut the hair. And I just mentioned that there because during the course of these services, we're going to pick up some of that. He says, you know, when the woman begin to cut the hair, it was a sign of the spirit of the entrance of woman liberation, begin to come in, and then the woman begin to have their own rights, given right to vote, then they come and they voted in the Catholic Church. And that was the invasion, he says, of the USA, the overthrow of the American government by the Catholic Church, bringing America into the full control of the Roman Catholic system to fulfill Revelation 13 in these last days. We're all acquainted with those things, so we just want to kind of, you know, show that it pertains to what we are looking at. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the song of their wings was like the song of chariots, of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like scorpions, and there was stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them who is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. That means the destroyer. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And notice that the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets is connected to those three woes. Because that angel said, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other three trumpets. That's a song. So the fifth, sixth, and seventh is those three woes. And the sixth trumpet now, verse 9:13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar to the four gods, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. If you go back to Genesis, you find right where that river flowed through the Garden of Eden. So it's in Genesis, and it's over here in Revelation. And the four angels were loosed, who were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of men. Notice it's continually men do it now, the inhabitants of the earth. They don't hurt the grass and things no more, but torment the men. And then it begins to speak, you know, to slay the third part of men. And the number of their army of their horsemen were 200,000, which is 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of men killed, by fire, by smoke, and by brimstone. You know, Brother Bram says here, you see, they cremated the Jews, they gassed them to death, and then they shot them. When they had no more bullets, when they gas them, they had no more gas, they burned them in the oven by fire, the ovens where they cremated them, the smoke where they gas them, by brimstone where they shot them and killed them. 6 million Jews, you know, died under those wars. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and their tails were like serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and a wood which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries nor of their fornication nor of their thefts. And then we see something injected here, Revelation 10, 1 to 7 and 8 to 11. So Revelation 10, 1 to 11 is injected between the 6 and 7 trumpet. And then Revelation 11, 1 to 14 is also injected between the 6 and 7 trumpet and the 7 trumpet, Revelation 11, 15. And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So I want you to notice something. From the first trumpet to the hail and the fire and the blood being poured out upon the earth to the 7th trumpet. And the 7th trumpet is the announcement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was made both Lord and Christ. And the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ under the 7th trumpet. So the announcement of the millennium, that great trumpet, when the kingdom is to be set up on the earth. Verse 16. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and was and art to come. See that threefold right there. Who art and was and art to come. Prophet, priest, and king, eagle, lamb, and lion, son of man, son of God, son of David. Lord who is, Lord who was, Lord who is to come. Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry and thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead that thou shalt be judged. And that thou shalt give reward unto thy servants the prophets and unto the saints. And them that fear thy name, small and great. And shouldest destroy them who destroy the earth. Now notice, under those first four trumpets, when he's looking at the creation, the earth, the trees, the sea, the sun, the moon, it was being smitten. And under the 7th trumpet, God says he's going to destroy them who are destroying the earth. But we know in the millennium, when the kingdom is announced here, the earth is to be purified for the millennium. Where the land, the lamb will lay down again. Where the Eden will be restored. Christ and his bride will be in the millennium like Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. Under that 7th trumpet in that kingdom. It will come back to the faith civilization that God started off in the book of Genesis. Amen? Just making all these little remarks here. So when we're going to kind of preach and teach and refer to things, you'll be a little familiar as to how we're bringing this. Amen. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his covenant, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So all those things there, 7 trumpets, Revelation 8, 7, the first trumpet, Revelation 8, 8 and 9, the second trumpet, Revelation 8, 10 and 11, the third trumpet, Revelation 8, 12, the fourth trumpet, Revelation 13, between the fourth, the first four that deals with the creation, and the other three, it mentioned woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants now of the earth. And then Revelation 9, 1 to 12 is the fifth trumpet, and Revelation 9, 13 to 21. So just remember the scriptures, because you see when I speak, sometimes instead of reading, I just refer and say, I just say Revelation 19 to 21, the sixth trumpet. So you have in your mind what that contains, what it's speaking about, how it killed 1/3 part of the men with fire, with brimstone, with smoke. So you'll know exactly when we refer to those things what it is. So the sixth trumpet was a second woe. And then I wanted to turn maybe and just notice this scripture here, Revelation 11, 14. So notice that. So tomorrow. We could kind of begin to build a little bit now in the message. So, as I says, it's been a very difficult subject to grasp, these 7 trumpets that is recorded in Revelation chapters 8 to 11. I wanted you to notice it covers Revelation chapter 8 to 11. Revelation chapter 8 verse 7 was the first trumpet. Revelation 11, 15 to 19 was the 7th trumpet. So from Revelation 8 to Revelation 11 is those 7 trumpets. But we found out that between the 6th and 7th trumpet, Revelation 10 There's a Gentile prophet, Revelation 10:7, to the Gentiles before the rapture, and Revelation 11, verse 3, two Jewish prophets, Moses and Elijah, to the Jews after the rapture. So there's three prophets between the sixth and seventh trumpet injected in the book right there. One before the rapture, two after the rapture. And Revelation 10, 8 to 11 is put right there between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophets. The Gentile prophet left 1965. The two Jewish prophets is yet to come. And from 65 to 1988, we're 1988 tonight, the 18th of March. So right here, 1988, 23 years after that Gentile prophet went off the scene, here's Revelation 10, 8 to 11. It's a scripture, a mystery injected there. And Brother Brown, we know, never went beyond the seventh verse. He never identified ministry beyond the seventh verse. He always stopped on that seventh verse and wouldn't read no further. Just like Jesus, he'd take the book and know exactly where to stop. And from Paul to Brother Branham, from 1883 to 1965, that scripture was never identified. See? So if it was not fulfilled during those seven church ages, and it's not for the Jews, then it's for the Gentiles. And it would have to be complained to us somewhere from the going of that Gentile prophet to the coming of them two Jewish prophets. And we see the generation that see Israel in their homeland will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. So they're back in the homeland and they're waiting for them two prophets to arise on the scene. And between that time, we see the title deed to the earth that Adam had, that Adam forfeited in Genesis. When Adam and Eve fell, they forfeited that title deed to the inheritance. And it went back to God. Satan couldn't take it. And we find that God held it. See, because it was for claims of redemption. And in Revelation 5, we see a lamb, a kinsman, redeemer, coming forth to take that book. And it takes it from the hand of God. And Revelation 10, we see the same book that was sealed in Revelation 5 is open in Revelation 10. And it's not up in heaven, now it's coming down on the earth. Amen. Prophet said the same book that was closed in Revelation 5 is the same book in Revelation 10. And that book in Revelation 5 was the title deed to the earth that Adam had and Adam forfeited. Then that same book, we see it comes down on the earth, and it comes down in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. I think that's appropriate because 18th of March is when the book began to be opened. 1963. He was beginning to break that first seal. See? So look at this. So when it came down in the days of the seventh angel, when the seventh angel was in the earth, then we see Revelation 10, 8, 11, that book goes back into earthen vessels because John was told, take the book and eat it. But when Adam forfeited the book, it went back in the hands of God. Adam didn't have it. God had it. Then God held it. Then the lamb came and took the book. So it God didn't have it no more. The lamb had the book. Then Revelation 10, the angel has the book. So the lamb don't have the book no more. The angel has the book. See, Adam don't have it. God don't have it. The lamb don't have it. The angel has the book now. It's not that the book is changing hands. It's the one who's holding the book is changing form. Because that same lamb is that same angel. Is that same God. Amen. Then that book comes down on the earth. And goes back into flesh. Because a voice told John, go and take the book, John, and eat it. So Adam don't have it, God don't have it, the lamb don't have it, the angel don't have it, the book is inside of John. And that is between the Gentile prophet, Revelation 10, 7, and the Jewish prophet, Revelation 10, 8, 11. And when John was eating the book, is when the book was already opened. And 1963 and 65, the book was fully opened unto us. The message was delivered. It was given. Not one word could be added. Not one word could be taken away. Amen. So here it was. That book is here on the earth. Building the people. He said, by being partakers of the word, we are being formed into the word image. And Jonathan feed upon the word. To partake of the word. To eat the whole roll. Amen. So somewhere from 1965 to 1988, that book, there had been a people that John represented between the Gentile prophets and the Jewish prophets who have been eating that very book. And you are what you eat. You become that. You become the word if you feed upon the word. So here it is now. The very thing that gave Adam dominion and made him a god over the earth. It would have been come back to us. And we know Adam lost three things: eternal life, fellowship with God, and power over the earth as God. Amen. And we saw in the ministry of the prophet, amen, he proved that he didn't only have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he had eternal life. Because he was converted by his baptism, he grew into the full image of the word. Amen. Because we know that. I don't want to spend time on little things. I know you are very well established in these things. So here it is. So he grew and became that word, and it proved he had eternal life. It was the literal life of Jesus Christ. Because there's only one form of eternal life, Zoe, God's own life. And the prophet proved that the life he had was the same nature, same characteristics. He says, God is identified by his own characteristics. He would preach, he that is in you, the token, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, the statue of a perfect man. What was he talking about? The eternal life inside of him. That had been formed again into the person of Jesus Christ. Change from glory unto glory. Beholding the glory of the Lord is in a mirror. He had that vision of perfection until he was changed and changed until he became into the same image of the glory of the Lord. Amen. And preach, mighty God unveiled before us how that glory is veiled behind human skins. And we saw what it did. We saw the eternal life. Not only did he have the image, but he had the dominion. Because God made man in his image and gave him dominion. So he preached, why Christ speak? Speak to this mountain, the masterpiece. All these things showing us now. Testimony. Look over to Jesus. Five manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Showing he also had the dominion that followed the image. Because God made Adam in his image first. And then give him dominion. And here was the prophet. He preached those messages showing we're not in a shock age. We're not in a Pentecostal age. We're in a wheat age. We're into the form image of Christ. We're into the life of the gifts, into the person of the Holy Ghost. Showing the image. Then he gave testimony of the dominion. Power over the earth. Speak to the storm. Speak to the fish. Amen. And he had fellowship with God. God would talk to him personally. Would you take a walk with me? Oh, Lord, he says, you know how that's the thing I desire the most in my life. Walk through the woods, there, all the animals, himself, come eat the rag of his hand. Amen. See, speak to the hornet, speak to the fish, speak to, pray for the possum. See, all these things. Showing that man back in his environment, having dominion again. Showing that the opening of the seven seals, it brought something back to us. Because this is the day of redemption. This is the hour. This, when we speak of the seals, we are speaking about redemption. Then we must have a vision of what was in the beginning before the fall to know if we are being redeemed, to know if we are in the redemption. Amen. To see if we are being changed back into that original image there. Amen. So I trust that those two things we were looking at there in those seven trumpets, as we read them out of Revelation chapters 8 to 11, the creation and the inhabitants of that habitat. Man in his domain. Amen. And we see that how that earth was being destroyed. The water that God created in the beginning. Pure water. Amen. See, you don't have to put no chlorine. You don't have to have no special filters and all these different things. It was pure crystal water. The air, when God created the atmosphere and spoke that firmament of heaven into existence. the atmospheric heaven there, then that air was as pure as anything else. So we could breathe. Not today. We come out of Mexico City there. I was reading in the National Geographic recently. They said to live in Mexico City is equivalent to smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day, just breathing that polluted air. You see? The air pollution. Then we look at the grass and the trees. It's all hybrid, man of hybrid. Look at the earth. All the minerals have been pulled out of it for war and industry. That the inventions of peace, he says, kill more than the inventions of war to build up the Satan Eden. Okay. So we see then that it's speaking of the creation. Now, one of the things that we must keep in our minds is that just like those seven church ages was given in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, you know, first church age, who the messengers, second church age, who the messengers, third church age, and so on. That covered a span of time of 2,000 years almost. And then there were seven seals. And those seven seals covered the same thing. So then when we look and we see, we come to the seven trumpets, it's not like that. Though it is written in a chronological order, he says all those seven trumpets sounded at once. It's not like only the earth being destroyed and then the sea shall get polluted some years after and then. No, it's happening. It's happening together. Because the feast of the trumpets, we know, is to gather the Jews back into the homeland. Amen. Then, when we come to those seven vials, it's all happening at once too. Right after the ministry of Moses and Elijah, and before the millennium takes place, in the battle Armageddon, when the battle that started in heaven between Michael and Lucifer ends up in the earth in the former Armageddon. Both armies in human flesh now. Satan incarnate, God incarnate. Amen. All God's attributes expressed in flesh, in a glorified body coming back. All Satan fallen angels incarnate in the people of this world who have rejected the blood of Jesus Christ, the message of the hour. And by the rejection of the word, it makes a way for the devils to become incarnate. And it's to be end up in the former Armageddon, Star Wars. Michael the Bright, the Morning Star, and his 2/3 of the stars. See? Lucifer, the fallen star. And his fallen angel, the 1/3 of the stars that he deceived. And it's a great war, and we see even the natural realm, you know, they're talking about Star Wars and how all these things is heading up in this great atomic age that we are living in. So, the first thing we want to establish, we kind of go a little slowly here tonight, is that these seven feasts in the book of Leviticus, because for title, I'm taking the Revelation of the Seven Trumpets, part 1, part 2, part 3, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday morning. But for our subject tonight, what I want to deal with is Leviticus 23 is the key to the book of Revelation. Because this book of Revelation, I believe that the book of Revelation was the message of the prophet. As I look at the message and I see that it was the only book that, you know, we could not have read and understood down through the seven church ages, nor the messengers, because it was sealed up. It was going to be made known in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. So they all read it. But Abraham says Iranians used to read it almost every time they gathered together in service. But they never understood it. Because it was a book of prophecy. If you take Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it's about 1900 years from the first church age to the end of the sixth church age. And the beginning of the seventh church age was 1906. So this last generation from Revelation 3:14 to Revelation 20, from the seven churches to the millennium, is one generation. But the first six church ages is to almost 1900 years. So the majority of the book from Revelation 3:14 to Revelation 20 is happening right now. Now, whether we look outside and we see the events and we see the world news and we see what's happening around the world, is whether we are seeing what is in the book manifested, or whether we are acquainted with all the happenings, but when we read the book is still confused. And since there's going to be no more ages, and the book was written for this last day bride, because she's the only weapon. And if we are about to lead the generation about to run out, there must be a clear understanding, because Brother Bram says in his introduction to the seven church ages, he said, though this volume will concern itself with various major doctrines such as Godhead, water, baptism, found in Revelation chapters 1 through 3, its main theme is setting forth a detailed study of the seven church ages. He says, this is necessary in order to study and to understand the rest of the revelation. For out of the ages comes the seals. And out of the seals come the trumpets. And out of the trumpets come the vials. Like the first burst of a Roman candle, the church ages come forth with a mighty initial illumination, without which there could be no further light. But once the brilliance of the seven church ages is given by divine revelation, light upon light follows, until the whole of the revelation opens wide before our wondering eyes. And we, edified and purified by his spirit, are made ready for his glorious appearing. Even our Lord and Savior, the one true God, Jesus Christ. So the prophet is saying here in his own words, that this book of Revelation, when it's opened up to us, by the time it is fully made plain, we will be edified and purified by his spirit, made ready for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this book is five things, seven church ages, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, and is sealed up with seven thunders. When them seven thunders utter their voices, then those are the divinely revealed mystery truths contained in the seven seals, which will literally turn back the heart of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Because he says the mystery of the entire book lays in those seals. In other words, the church ages is under the first four seals. The seven trumpets is under the sixth seal. The seven vials is under the seventh trumpet. You see? So the church ages, the trumpets, the vials, is all under the seals. So if the seals are open, then he says, it will be made plain to us. Then Brother Branham, we know in 1963, the 23rd of March, when he's preaching that sixth seal, a great thing had happened, and maybe you might remember reading it. He says, now something happened today. I just had to get up and walk out of the room and go for a walk. And then, you know, he began to speak, and in his message, I think we'll do something a little different tonight. And he went to St. Matthew 24. And he began to preach the seals of St. Matthew 24, showing that Jesus never spoke on the seventh one. Then he was going to come to the seventh seal the next night. So when he was going to come to the seventh seal, he said, now John never said nothing about it either. And he used the scripture to say, I'm not permitted at this time to speak on those things. See? So what was happening there, he had seen something in that sixth seal. And when he came to the end, and he says, now something happened today. He says, and when I saw it, and then he couldn't tell the people. He said, we have a good time, don't we? He said, we fish and we hunt and so on. And here he came to that place and he couldn't tell them what it was. And then he told him, he said, when I think of millions that are going to be conquered further for this atomic age, millions that is lost. Then he came the next night on the seventh seal. He says, now it unfolded in a threefold manner. One fold unfolded yesterday. So under that sixth seal, something had happened. He had seen a part of the seventh seal being revealed to him. Amen. And when he saw that, he says, one fold unfold today, and one fold pass in our own language. And if you have never noticed it before, on the seventh seal, he begins with St. Matthew 24:31. On the sixth seal, he stopped and said, Matthew 24:30. He said, I have on my notes marked, stop, don't go no further. If I go any further, I go into the seal for tomorrow night. And while I'm saying these things, there is something that the Holy Spirit was not going to permit at that time. Even when Brother Branham came 1964, July, to preach on the seven trumpets, the Holy Spirit said, leave that alone. Don't even go in there. It's not time. Because he said, you preach that supernaturally under the sixth seal. So it means if we are reading our sixth seal or hearing our sixth seal on tape, we're supposed to see seven trumpets in Revelation chapters 8 to 11 preached supernaturally in there. But the Holy Spirit says, don't preach it. Leave it alone. You preach it supernaturally. Now, that has been a thing to ponder, because what is to preach something supernaturally? See, you had explained the church ages, age by age by age. You had explained the seals, seal by seal by seal. When he came to the seventh seal, he says, now look, Revelation 7 is put between the sixth and seventh seal for a purpose. He says the only material to go into the seventh seal, because nothing is written on that seventh seal. He said it reveals a happening, a calling, and a sealing. And tomorrow we're going to maybe see some of that there. So here it was, he had seen that he had to explain Revelation 7 before he go into that seventh seal. He said, the only material I have. And the thing is that the Holy Spirit was the guide. He said, that angel of the Lord, the same one who was performing miracles all these years, and since 1946 when he went out on the field, the first and second pole, now 1963 he was revealing the truth. He said, that angel that performed miracles throughout these years is now revealing truth by the same Spirit. That was the guide, the Holy Spirit, the author of the word, the pillar of fire that came to Moses and wrote the Old Testament, pillar of fire that came to Paul and wrote the New Testament, that same pillar of fire had come back to reveal the entire Bible. And he was being led by the guide. And when he came to the seventh seal, he says, now Revelation 7 is the material to go in there. Now look at this now. When he came to the seven trumpets, God told him, he says, you preach that supernaturally. In other words, he was going to preach it, first trumpet, second trumpet, third trumpet, just like he preached ages and just like he preached seals, out of Revelation chapters 8 to 11. And after he would finish Revelation chapter 9, verse 13 to 21, the sixth trumpet is Revelation 10. And if you would have to take Revelation 10 before you go into the seventh trumpet, you would have to explain that between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Just like you have to explain Revelation 7 between the sixth and seventh seal. You have to explain it. But if you notice, between the sixth and seventh church age is a mystery, is an open door. Between the sixth and seventh seal is Revelation 7. Between the sixth and seventh trumpet is Revelation 10. Between the sixth and seventh vial is Revelation 16, 3 and clean spirit like fox coming out of the mouth. The false prophets. There's always an interval, always something injected inside of the air. It's for a purpose. Because this book of Revelation, when the prophet begin to unfold it, like in the seven church ages, he said the next thing is going to come after this. The church goes up in the fourth chapter, don't appear until the 19th chapter. From the fourth to the 19th chapter, God is dealing with the Jews. He says, and I would have to take Daniel 70 weeks because 70 weeks was given to the Jews. They had allotted amount of time, a specific amount of time. And they already have received 69 and a half weeks. So I'll have to take Daniel 70 weeks because the 4th to the 19th chapter is connected to the last half of the 70th week. And if we don't take it, when those seals open and that woman and the sun and the great red dragon and those three wolves and those vials and those plagues, he said, we wouldn't understand nothing. So he went and took Daniel 70 weeks. After he took Daniel 70 weeks, then came the vision, says the time, opened the seven seals. And he says, now the next thing to follow the seven seals would be the seven trumpets. And then he was getting ready to have a meeting of those seven trumpets. And the Holy Spirit said, no, You preach it supernaturally already under the sixth seal. God stopped him from preaching it out of Revelation chapters 8 to 11 and showed him, you preach it in Revelation 7 under the sixth seal. So in 1965, he came now to God's evil age. And I'm going to read a little quote for you here on page 4, paragraph 16. He says, now in doing this, I've come here for the purpose of teaching the last seven vials and the last seven trumpets and the last seven thunders of the book of Revelation, tying them together in this hour of living to follow the opening of the seven seals and the seven church ages. So here it is, he says, out of the ages come the seals, out of the seals come the trumpets, out of the trumpets come the vials. Out of, and then it was sealed by seven thunders. And he had preached the seven churches, he had preached the seven seals, and God had stopped him from preaching the seven trumpets. Then 1965, even though God had stopped him back there, and he said it pertained to the Jews, and he had preached supernaturally, 1965, he comes and he wants to have a meeting. He wants to take the seven last trumpets, the seven last thunders, and the seven vials, and tie them together to follow the seven church ages and the seven seals, which would open up the entire book of Revelation to us. Then the same month, Thinking Man Filter, about 3 weeks after, page 3, paragraph 12, he said, I have given the right to feed the sheep, and I would only do the very best of my knowledge in giving out the right food that I know for the sheep. And I am anxiously waiting for the hour to where we can all congregate in one place and preach on those seven plagues and seven vials and seven trumpets and so forth. They all happen right in a cluster. That's the reason it will take about a week, 10 days or more, to get it in one single meeting if we can. I think it's very sufficient. So here he was. He was coming out to bring those last three things together. He said, because they all happen in a cluster. As I said, from Revelation 3:14, from the seventh age to the millennium, Revelation 20, is all happening right now in this generation. John was transported into a future day, into the Lord's day. And when John was transported, he saw him with a white wig. And for seven church ages, they never saw him with a wig. He was in the intercessory post. We are the only group of believers who have seen him come in that cloud. The first they saw him going up, down through the other ages, they didn't see him. Then when we saw him coming back, we saw him come back in a cloud. See, one like the Son of Man in the Lord's day. He said the Lord's day is when he is revealing himself as judge, priesthood, and kingship. And Revelation 10, Genesis 18, what it is. It is that investigation judgment. He said, see them UFOs and all of them, you don't know what it is. He said, well, we know what it is. It's investigating angels of judgment. It's going on. They come down in the time of Sodom when God come down there was walking around. Three of them came, he says, God in a man with dust on his clothes and these things. See what's happening. Brother Bram going back to the scriptures and showing us what these things were. So here he was looking there to have this meeting. And he saw the time was coming. He said, I have the right to feed the sheep and to give them sheep food. I'm so anxiously want to bring these things that they could see them. It all happened in a cluster right there. Because when John was transporting to this space of time, between his priesthood and his kingship, between the church age and the millennium, in a little space of time, because the church ages was his priesthood when he was Son of God. The millennium is his kingship when he's Son of David. And between that time, one like the Son of Man has been revealed again. So when John was transporting this day, the Lord's day, transported here, is where he was seeing all these things. And he saw a woman on a scarlet colored beast. He was seeing it in symbol form. And there was an angel who was a prophet revealed to John who the great harlot is, who the lamb wife is, measure the city. Amen? That John wanted to bow down and worship. And here he says, the prophet is an angel, a prophet, that revealed that book of Revelation. And John now
You know, in looking and seeing those things, he had seen the seven trumpet angels, those heavenly angels. But I'm telling the church age, he says, those seven trumpet angels are heavenly angels. The seven church ages, he didn't see the angels. He saw seven stars in Jesus' right hand. And the voices, here's the mystery of those stars. They are the seven angels of the seven church ages. He saw it in a symbol form, seven stars. Then he saw the seven trumpet angels, heavenly beings. When he saw the seven vial angels, were seven men. And because he kept saying, one of the seven angels who had the seven vials revealed to me the great whore. One of the seven angels, Revelation 21:9, who had the seven vials, revealed to me the Lamb wife. And he bowed down to worship that angel. And we know which angel revealed the great whore, the great harlot. We know which angel revealed the Lamb wife, choosing a bride. Balaam took Genesis 24:7, Eliezer in Genesis, and he took Revelation 21:9 in Revelation. And identifies ministry there. Revealing the Lamb's wife, Isaac's bride. Over here from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And here it was, we know he was that angel that revealed the book of Revelation. And even in this day, they bowed down to worship him and refused that worship. So those vials cannot be Moses and Elijah. It's not pertaining to Moses and Elijah, because one of the seven angels who had one of those vials was a prophet who revealed those things. See? And Revelation 11:12, Moses and Elijah is caught up into heaven. See? And in the days of Moses and Elijah, they never overcome the beast. The beast killed the 144,000. The beast killed the foolish virgin. And the beast killed Moses and Elijah. Jezebel was still alive. Because when the Revelation 19 comes, the beast and the kings and the armies of the earth is gathered to make war with Christ. Coming back from the marriage supper after the ministry of Moses and Elijah. All Moses and Elijah succeeded in doing was bringing out the 144,000. Bringing them to recognize the true atonement. Bringing them out of the Jewish traditions. Bringing them to receive the true baptism of the Holy Spirit. Preaching to them, the kingdom of the Son of David is coming. Amen. See, the kingdom is at hand. So we see that those seven vials is a space of time between the ministry of Moses and Elijah and the battle of Armageddon. The millennium, rather. The battle of Armageddon takes place in that time. Because Armageddon wipes off the earth, cleans off the earth for the millennium. Amen. Those seven angels with those seven vials. Because they had the girdle around the pops, had golden girdles. Amen. And when the girdle around the pop is speaking about what? Judgment. Because those same seven messengers was the one that brought the blood, was the one that brought mercy to the seven ages in the time of intercession. Yeah, those same ones now, the mercy seat has become the judgment throne. And they are coming to bring judgment upon the face of the earth. And those vials that is poured out, we see, is poured out upon the beast and his kingdom. Because notice Jezebel, after Elijah in the book of Kings, in the type, Elijah went off the scene after he had shut the heaven for 3.5 years, after he had burned up some of Jezebel's troops, fire proceeded out of his mouth and all these things. Then Jezebel went on. But she was destroyed by the communists. Is that correct? She died long afterwards. Ahab died in the battle. Amen. So those things back in the type. We see those things there in the type and also in the book of Revelation. So here then, these seven trumpets. These are we looking at the Holy Spirit. I sincerely believe the Holy Spirit have been really gracious to show something in there that we could see exactly the time that we are living in and be able to prepare, because most of those trumpets already happened. People looking for something way to come. But those things from Revelation 3, 14, Revelation 20 is going on right now. Fulfill is in the process of fulfillment. Amen. And if you notice in those seven trumpets, there's many mysterious things there. There's a fallen star. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? The angel with the key to the bottomless pit, to open up the bottomless pit, to loose all them spirits. It's happening in the time of those seven trumpets. Then there's a great river, Euphrates. There's four rivers back in Genesis. Euphrates, Hiddekel, Gihon, and Pishon. Gihon and Pishon is never mentioned no more in the Bible. Hiddekel is mentioned once after that in Daniel 10 verse 4, where the angel is standing by the Hiddekel River, which is really the Tigris River. But the river Euphrates is mentioned all through the Bible. Because Euphrates flowed through Babylon. Babylon, where Satanic religion had its origin, was built on the river Euphrates. And how did Babylon fall? They divert the riverbed. The kings of the east, the Medes and Persians. And the river became dry to make a way for them to enter into the city and overthrow the city. Is that correct? Okay, so here the Babylon, the prophet says in the beginning of the Bible, the middle of the Bible, and the end of the Bible. Euphrates is in the beginning of the Bible, the middle of the Bible, and the end of the Bible. But when Babylon comes in Revelation, it is no longer that city back there. It's a mystery Babylon. And that river Euphrates is a mystery river. Because out of that river is coming forth supernatural devils, locusts. 200 million, an army of horsemen. And the prophet says, that is that same pagan spirit. That same Roman spirit. But what is that doing in the trumpet? The trumpet is speaking of political disturbance. There's three woes contained. Woe, woe, woe. World War I, World War II, World War III. Right in the midst of those seven trumpets. And here it is. Because remember, them wars is political disturbance to get the Jews back in the homeland. To rush them back there. And they are back in the homeland, the fig tree putting for its bud. We know that. But Abraham couldn't even go forth into his ministry, though he had experiences. A little boy, he seen visions almost about 2 years. The angel appeared to him at 7 years old, 1916. Don't drink or smoke. Or defile yourself in any way. Have a work for you to do when you get older. Be in the midst of World War I. World War I is from 1914 to 1918. 1916 as a seven-year-old boy. While the wars was going on and poison gas and they burn up all the trees. Like you talk about the chaplain. The chaplain went out there and was in the Argonne Forest. Was burnt out. You couldn't see no bark, no flowers, no nothing, no grass. Destroying the earth. See? Hail, blood, and fire was pouring out while the wars were being fought. And at first, they kept back Jerusalem. When they said, Allenby is coming. The Turks is coming. See, and General Allenby, Barham said, do you want to fire on the city? So he ran back to the King of England and he says, pray. I don't know what to do. Tell him, pray. And then he flew back along a second time and they began to cry, Allenby is coming. They were saying the Allies was coming. And they surrendered the city without firing a shot. And Jerusalem was recaptured back. See? And while that was happening, all that was going on, that angel was there in a tree in the form of a whirlwind speaking to that little boy, saying, don't drink or smoke. While the wars is going on, then that same angel swing back around and says, stop them wars! Stop the war! He said, 1918, World War I, stop, nobody knew it stop. He said, that angel stopped that war. Same angel! See? Then 1933, the same pillar of fire come back over the Ohio River, beating World War I and World War II. And tell him, as John the Baptist was on the first coming, you will fall on the second coming. And here he was, he heard those things, he kept it in his heart. Then God showed him seven visions. Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Eisenhower. He saw the four of them. Fascism, Nazism, communism. How are you going to end with communism? Americans taking a beating at the Maginot Line. In the war, he saw all those things. He saw Roosevelt was going to lead the whole nation to war and cause a world war. Pick up England, fight, he says. He said he was the rascal of all the presidents. I was reading the history on Roosevelt, the historians are saying so. But a prophet, he was the rascal of all the presidents. He led them into war. See, he saw World War II coming. He saw the political disturbance coming. Way back in 1933, 6 years before the war started, Adolf Hitler was in Italy at the same time preaching Nazism. Mussolini was in Italy preaching fascism. Stalin was preaching communism in Russia. Messiahs. He said the Russians wanted a messiah, a genius. See, America wanted a genius to get Eisenhower. He went to get all the great minds from the universities because 1929 Wall Street had crashed. And they went into depression between World War I and World War II. And he was trying to bring a recovery in the nation. But instead of doing that, he led them into another war. No, I'm saying all that for a purpose because we're going to pick up in the other night. You will see exactly how it where it's heading, what is happening. But Brother Ramsey, you watch, we're going to follow this message, the rejection of this message. Famine, depression, and war is going to follow the rejection of this message. You see, when Jezebel moved into the White House and Elijah message was rejected, he said, look what happened. Famine struck the land. They went into depression, and then they went into war, and Ahab was destroyed in the war. Is that correct? That's in the Bible. Now watch. Now the prophet was watching the Bible, and he knew it could not fail. And here, the economist now is predicting that with that crash of Wall Street, the world is heading to a global financial collapse. A world financial crisis. But that's exactly what the Bible says in Revelation 13. They're going to buy or sell. And all them analysts trying to pinpoint what is the cause, what caused the crash. They can't come up with something yet. Back there in 1929, they didn't come up with it either. But you see that Pentecostal message was being rejected. All them starchy Methodists just laughing at it. As people roll on the floor. They wouldn't receive it. See? So notice something. So here he was. He saw those things coming in. He saw how the college was going to come into America. He saw all that was going to happen in the nations. 1933. Then after World War II stopped, and Israel is back in the homeland, the six-point star David over Palestine, the angel, the same angel that spoke to us as a little boy in the midst of World War I, same angel that stopped the war, same angel that came between World War I and World War II and showed him the vision about how the world is going to go to war again. Them wars in the trumpets. That same angel comes back to him in the cave now and says, it's time to go on the world now. Because from 1906 to 1946 is one generation. The elected Pentecostals have died out. And God has sent out one man now in a calling out age. A servant that suffered. When they see the fig tree put forth its bud. St. Luke 21:29. And all other trees. He says, a tree when it's putting forth its bud is reviving. It's having a revival. And here was a revival in all Gentile nations also. The fig tree and all other trees. And Luke 14:15-29. A servant at supper time. He's a servant singular. Not at lunchtime. Not at breakfast time. Supper time. Evening time. Went to call the halt, the lame, the maimed, and the blind. He said, that's a healing revival. And from 1946 to 1955, the greatest healing revival the world have seen. Now notice what I'm trying to bring you here. From the first war coming right up. And show how the prophet life and his experiences with God, though them wars was driving Israel back in the homeland, at the same time God is training him and getting him ready to bring a message. We appeared to him in the midst of World War I. Appeared to him after World War I and World War II. After World War II and Israel was in the homeland, then he says, time to go on the world now. He wasn't commissioned before, he was commissioned after the Jews was back in the homeland. Because according to the scriptures, Revelation 10 is between the sixth and seventh trumpet. And war, war, war by reason of the last three trumpets. And the fifth trumpet is World War I, sixth trumpet is World War II. And under the seventh trumpet,
World War III, Armageddon.
And notice, he went out after World War II because that is exactly where his ministry appears in the Bible. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, just give you the ages positionally according to history. It never tells you which age is when and what is what. But Revelation 10:7, which says, I believe the messenger of Revelation 3:4, that book is to be opened. But that was the sign Jesus gave. When you see the Jews back in the homeland, you know he's even nigh at the door. See? And yet before the third war, that angel come and open the book to deliver the names found written in the book quickly to take the bride out because she will go before one bomb falls. See? So God was showing the prophet all along through the history of time. And 1965, when he went off the scene, he had seen all them visions coming to pass. He had seen Hitler, how he came to a mysterious end, Mussolini come to a shameful end. He saw how it ended up in communism, and he saw science after World War II. Now look at it now. The Industrial Revolution, the Chemical Revolution. When we come to those trumpets there, you're going to see how the trees, all them trees that God created in Genesis, botany life, and God said it was good. You think of the trees and nature, all different type of vegetation. The vegetation, the herbs, and the herb yielding seed for food, for nourishment. See, the grass for all the flocks and the herds that they feed upon. God was creating that environment because in Genesis, the last thing God made was man. He had created all the lakes, the rivers, the sea. He had created the trees. He had created the heavenly bodies. And then the last thing he created was man, and he put man to have dominion over it. But what happened? After man fell, they begin to destroy the earth. Cain began to build cities. And people began to multiply upon the face of the earth. And they had to cut down the mountains and cut down the trees and begin to walk inside and pull out all the minerals out of the earth. Until when God looked at it, the whole earth was corrupted, the whole earth was all filled with violence. The very earth that the animals never even used to fight. And God came so grieved, he says, I'm going to destroy it. They even had atomic power, building the sphinxes, building the pyramids, all these things. Great mathematicians, great scientists, men of great renown, great institutions of education. And here in that hour, God sent a prophet who is going to pull the elect out when God is going to wipe off the whole civilization of politics and religion and science, and you know, wipe it off with atomic power and bring back Noah to live on it in a new civilization. You see? Now what's something? So here then, as we look at these things here, we want to see tonight that those seven feasts in Leviticus 23, the first three feasts, the feast of the Passover, the feast of the unleavened bread, and the feast of the first fruit, was the ministry of the Son of Man. It was tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the feast of Pentecost, 50 days after, was for 7 months, and that was the seven church ages. And after the feast of Pentecost came the feast of trumpets, which followed the church ages. And the blowing of the trumpets was to gather back the scattered people. It was a regathering of the people. And when they have 7 long months and people would scatter and go back to the homes and different things. Then they would come back now for the feast of the trumpets on the first day of the 7 months. And then they would wait there for 9 days to see, to mourn for the sacrifice that was killed on the Day of Atonement on the tenth day. So they would be gathered back for the mourning of the sacrifice. Then after that,
there was the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the millennium. So those seven feasts is from Christ's death to Christ's reign. From the Feast of the Passover, Christ's death on the cross, to the Feast of Tabernacles, Christ's reign in the millennium. And Revelation 1 to Revelation 20 is from Christ's death to the millennium. If you take the fourth feast, the Feast of Pentecost, from the Feast of Pentecost to the Feast of Tabernacles is from the church age to the millennium. And from Revelation chapter 2 to Revelation 20, because Revelation chapters 2 and 3 is the seven church ages. Revelation 20 is the millennium. So from Revelation 2 to Revelation 20 is from the church age to the millennium. So it's both speaking about the same period of time. From the Feast of Pentecost to the Feast of Tabernacles is parallel to Revelation 2 to Revelation 20, because it's dealing with from the church age to the millennium. And the church ages, he's Son of God. In the millennium, he's Son of David. But we are promised Son of Man to be revealed again somewhere before the Feast of Tabernacles. In 1914, 8 years after the seventh age started, the Pentecostal revival on the street, the world went to war, World War I. Political disturbance, taking the whole world. And when the world went to war, in 1914 to 1918, here it was, persecution started. Political disturbance. Then World War II, 1939 to 1945. And during that time, God began to awaken them Jews to push them back into the homeland. Like Naomi, going back into the homeland. You see? Now, if Jesus Christ is to be revealed again as Son of Man, between Son of God and Son of David. And Son of God was the seven church ages. And Son of David is the millennium, the Feast of Tabernacles. Then in that space of time is the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of the Atonement. And the Feast of Trumpets was to gather the Jews back into the homeland. And the Feast of the Atonement is when they recognize and weep and mourn for the sacrifice that was killed. And it's dealing with Israel. And we see Israel, when they went up in the homeland, 1946, it was the gathering of the Jews back in Palestine. It was the figure point for his blood. It was the Feast of the Trumpets to gather back the scattered people. On the first day of the 7th month, waiting for the 10th day of the 7th month to recognize the atonement. And between that time, between the first day and the 10th day, is when God sent a prophet out to pull the bride out, because the bride must be taken off the earth before Joseph can make himself known to his brothers. So these first six trumpets, the fifth and the sixth trumpet was two wars. And notice, the first four is dealing with the environment. Now the environment, I don't want to go into it tonight. That is being destroyed while the wars are being fought. That is being destroyed while they're working in science. That is being, the whole earth is being destroyed. Because under the seventh trumpet, he said, I will destroy them who destroy the earth. The same ones destroying the earth. By all the bombs and all the radiation, all the toxic winds and from the industries and all the different things that they're doing and polluting all the rivers and the lakes and all these things. Working in science and education, civilization, destroying the earth. God says he's going to destroy them. Them who inhabit the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Them who destroy the earth. But the meek is going to come back and inherit it. And we see after World War II, while the world is going through birth pains, because them wars was birth pains to the earth. All the poison gas and the bombs, the earth was travailing in birth pains. He said she have one more pain to get, World War III. And they're going to bring forth a new world, a new civilization. Now look. So here then, we close now. As we look at these things, I want you to notice two things. Man in his environment. Because under the seventh trumpet, he brings back the restored Eden. Just like it was in Genesis 1 and 2, it comes back. Here we are between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Sixth trumpet already sounded to gather the Jews back in the homeland, waiting for the seventh trumpet. The generation about finished. Time for them two prophets, Moses and Elijah, to appear and sound the seventh trumpet to make known Christ to the Jews. Here is the Holy Spirit, the Lord himself, the Son of Heaven, a shout, pulling the bride out and taking up in the midst of the seventh seal, causing her to enter into a rapturing faith in this hour by revealing the hidden truth of the Word to show where she is, what time we are living in, how far advanced the program of God is. See? And right in that time, the very title deed to the earth. The earth that is about destroyed. The earth that has gone through birth pains. The earth that scientists say if it go on a little longer, it wouldn't even be a fit place for human life. The dying planet. That's why billions of dollars are being spent right now in space exploration. Because the whole earth has been polluted. But I'm saying they can't even find the radiation no more. They let loose in the oceans. They fought wars in the sky. They fought wars under the sea in submarines. They fought war under the sea in ships. They fought war on land. The whole earth is drenched with blood from the time of Abel. Right now, man, blood, I mean, shed innocent blood upon the face of the earth. The politics is rotten. The religion is rotten. And the whole thing is heading up right now in this age where Satan himself is getting ready to be incarnate as God over his Eden. Our bodies are hybrid, the food is hybrid, the water is perverted, everything is perverted. Even the thirst in the people have been perverted to accept this very Eden that Satan has been. Here he is getting ready to be enthroned as God in this age. And God comes down to pull our elect out because the whole world is going to worship the beast. Except those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we are catching our understanding as we look and we see how the whole earth is being polluted and where it's heading up to. Now watch. So under that seventh trumpet, the millennium, six trumpets have already sounded. Revelation 10 between the sixth and seventh trumpet. The seventh seal book being opened. Revelation 8:11, the bride eating the book. And then it goes to the Jews. Revelation 12:1-11, the ministry of Moses and Elijah, and that is the call of the 144,000, the Feast of the Atonement. So Feast of Trumpets was those first six trumpets. Whoa, whoa. Them wars to get the Jews back in the homeland, to gather the people. Feast of the Atonement, 144,000 to recognize Christ. Feast of Tabernacles, the millennium, the kingdom of this world becoming the kingdom of our Lord and Christ. So here are those three feasts over in the book of Revelation, chapters 8 to 11. Hope you get what I'm saying. I read to you Revelation 23 to 34. Feast of the Trumpets, Feast of the Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles, which is from the gathering of Israel to the millennium. And those first six trumpets have been the gathering of Israel back in the homeland, waiting for the seventh trumpet to make known of Christ. And here it was, the first six trumpets, the feast of the trumpets. In the Old Testament, it was typed out when Naomi was going back to the homeland. Because Naomi going back to the homeland was a type of Israel going back to the homeland after the death of her family. Her family had died out. They left the promised land. And they went out there into Moab. And death struck them. The judgment of God. And it caused her to begin to feel homesick. And she had heard that they had bread back in the country. And she began to return home. So look at the type now. I'm trying to show you those three feasts in the book of Leviticus. It parallels the book of Revelation. Those seven feasts. And those three feasts, from the Feast of Trumpets to the Feast of Tabernacles, parallels the gathering of the Jews to the millennium. And we show that in the first six trumpets. Jews gather back in the homeland. Then Moses and Elijah ministry. Revelation 11, 1 to 12. And then Revelation 11, 15, the millennium itself. The Feast of Tabernacles. Here is the same three feasts. But Son of Man is being revealed between the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of the Atonement. And the Son of Man is being revealed to take the bride of the earth. Between Son of God, the Feast of Pentecost, and Son of David, the Feast of Tabernacles. And right here, to take a type to show you that it is correct, in the Old Testament, the six trumpets, persecution of the Jews, death. When Naomi family, Elimelech, Mahlon and Chilion had died, and she began to go back home, and she was going back home, but she was going back to receive redemption. See? She was going back to have that inheritance of Elimelech redeemed. She didn't fully know it yet, but she was going back for it. And while she was going back, Ruth was coming in. And 1946, when the Jews was back in the homeland, the Holy Spirit sent a prophet out to begin to bring in the 11th hour Gentile workers. See, the Jews coming back in the same time. And here, Naomi going back to the homeland until Naomi and Ruth and Boaz was in Elimelech's inheritance, because Elimelech was the tribe of Judah. What did it type here? He represented Adam. And Judah's symbol is a lion. And he had an inheritance. But he forfeited his inheritance that Joshua had given to them, the Holy Spirit. When Joshua took them over into Canaan land, divided the land, and he went away, forfeited his inheritance. But he had a kinsman by the name of Boaz of the same tribe of Judah. Because he's from Bethlehem, Judah. And Judah the lion represents Son of David, the kingship, the millennium. And here Boaz, he was going to come to the place where he was going to be revealed in the harvest time, because they went back at the beginning of harvest. In other words, the life was no longer in the stalk or the tassel or the shock, the life was in the grain. In the harvest time, the grain has been formed. And that's the time the Jews were going back in the homeland. And the Jews went back after one generation from 1906 to 1946 when the elected Pentecostal that shock had died out and a one-man move had started. And here it is. When Naomi went back there, Ruth coming in at that time, because the bride was going to be called, she had to go through three stages of redemption. She had to make a clinical decision, justification. Then she had to go to sanctuary and labor in the field. And then she had to come and receive rest, receive the Holy Spirit. And then she's going to receive redemption. When Boaz go to stand before the elders, make a public testimony like Revelation 5, as kinsman redeemer before the elders. See? Now watch. So here it is. When she went in there now, the Bible says that Boaz, he appears after Naomi's back in the homeland. Boaz is not mentioned in the first chapter. First chapter, Naomi and they going back in the homeland. Israel is back in the homeland. Then Boaz appears, Revelation 10:1, beating that six and seven trumpets. And he comes and he's been revealed as the Lord of the harvest, the kinsman redeemer, and bridegroom of the Gentile bride, the Lion of Judah. He's the one that's going to do the work of redemption. And here Boaz has been revealed at hour. And he comes to in the field to his servant, his chief servant, who he had over the reapers, the Bible says. And when he came to the servant who was set over the reapers, and we know this harvest time, there's a chief servant set over the reapers. It was Revelation 10:7. And he began to ask him about Ruth, the virtuous Gentile bride who had come in that hour. And here, Ruth representing Revelation 10:8-11. Now, all that time, Naomi is not seen. Ruth is going through the state of redemption. Naomi is in the land, yes. She's not going through nothing. Ruth is the one laboring. Ruth is the one this has made the decision. Ruth is the one in the field? Who does he want coming to get a rest? Who does he want? Who's going to come and receive redemption? And Boaz, a type of Christ, the land of Judah, was going to come back and redeem Elimelech's inheritance that he forfeited, which is like when Christ is coming to redeem back the earth, Adam's inheritance. And we find out that after Boaz came back and redeemed it, then Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi lived on Elimelech's inheritance after it was released, showing that Christ and the bride and the 144,000 will be in the millennium together. After Elimelech's inheritance is released. See, it fell to squatters while there was a way down in Moab. And Boaz had to come to redeem it in that hour. But what happens first? He comes down there in the harvest time and redeems Ruth. And then Naomi, she comes in afterwards and receives redemption and Elimelech's inheritance. And they all dwell upon it. And here the Jews back in their homeland. First six trumpets. Woe, woe, souls under the altar. All them who doubt in the war. Naomi family. Crying how long? He says, you gotta wait. See, them were the ones who died in the war. And then the Jews back in their homeland. And after Israel was in their homeland, here they was now, waiting there for their time. But during the harvest time, Boaz was speaking to Ruth. He was looking for character, and he had found that character. And then Ruth come to the place where she marked the spot where Boaz lay, and come to that place and receive the six measures of barley and all these things. You know the story. And then finally, Revelation 11, 1 to 12, Naomi comes in the 144,000. And Revelation 11, 15, the kingdom of this world become the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the millennium, where Boaz, Ruth, Naomi is in Elimelech's inheritance. So, the book of Ruth then shows two things. The Jews going back to their homeland, and it shows also the redemption of Elimelech's inheritance, the earth. So, I wanted to keep watching those two things. The environment, trees, sea, lakes, fountains, rivers, sun, moon, stars. That's the earth, heaven that we live in here. This man's environment that we are living in. And then the man himself, the inhabitant of the earth. We see those two things here tonight. And we see it is a parallel from the Feast of the Trumpets to the Feast of Tabernacles. They are parallel to the Feast to the Seven Trumpets. The first trumpet to the seventh trumpet. From Israel going back in the homeland till Revelation 11, 15, Israel with Christ and the bride in the millennium. So it is a parallel both. And we also see it in the book of Ruth, like three places. And we see in the book of Ruth, the Elimelech inheritance, the earth had to be redeemed. We see God say, we'll destroy them who destroy the earth and bring it back purified for he and his bride and the 104,000 to be in the millennium. So, I just want to stop here and say, I know I may leave a lot of things unfinished, but that's why I want to stop here, because tomorrow night, we're going to pick up a little further, and Sunday morning, the Lord willing, is when we're really trying, by the grace of God, to bring out really what we have in our hearts. But all this background here, I believe is necessary, that we'll be acquainted to see exactly how Brother Abraham's life, his ministry was tied into all them wars, exactly where the seventh will be open, why God told him don't preach on seven trumpets, but why he wanted to come back afterwards and have a meeting. He says, because it's a great message inside of here that we could actually see. Because here we are, in this hour, so much is happening, so much is taking place, and we are living in the hour, in the whole of Revelation, from Revelation 3, 4 to Revelation 20, being fulfilled in the earth. And it seems so strange, with even within the message, that people will hardly preach in the book of Revelation. Yet, the book was written for this hour. And all these things in the book is happening now. And that was the message of the seventh angel, to reveal those things. And he said, once the church is with my revelation, the whole thing will be open before our eyes. See? And when we see those things, we see exactly where we are placed positionally in this hour and all the judgments and things that is moving already upon the face of the earth. Barham says, he says, way back there in 1964, it's when that rock was thrown up. It was time for the bride to move into a secret place because judgment had started in the earth. See? When all Israel had to get under the token. You got plagues and all those things moving already on the outside. Darkness, spiritual death, all those things moving in. On Shalom, when he shows us the darkness coming upon the people, they're caught up in the web of Hollywood. He's looking at the spirit being perverted. See? Preach God, Paul, the transform and teach and listen and show us exactly the age that's coming on. The insanity of the minds of the people are not enough. He said, they don't know it because they live in this age. And that was the prophecy right of insanity. He said, how could a man be blind, wretched, naked, miserable, and don't know it? That is the prophecy of insanity, of the insanity of the age. Then Revelation 6, 7, 8, it says, and hell followed death. That was the prophecy of hell being created on the earth. That the people will be in that condition. They don't have to die to go to hell no more. Because hell is here. That fifth dimension have emptied itself out through the fourth dimension to these three dimensions. You say radio and television, what is that? The fourth dimension is producing it. See? Perverting the spirits of the people. Scientists with the hybrid food, destroying the body. False religion, destroying the souls of the people. Destroying the human race upon the face of the earth. But in the midst of that, here, God drops them with a book. While the whole world is again falling apart. See, the whole world is again falling apart. Either economically, socially, spiritually. The whole thing is gone. The churches are finished. Politics are finished. You, nothing. You put the Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and every nation could never bring it back. Put a Billy Graham and all those every pulpit, you could never bring it back. You had seen what it's going to come to. And here we're in the midst of it. And there is something that, you know, it just seems that the reality of the age and what is happening, where it's locked up here in the book of Revelation, to make it known to us, how that Euphrates River was right there, and them spirits come out and kill them, and said, part of the men were showing the involvement of the Catholic Church in politics, because the trumpet is political disturbance. And that Euphrates River, where them demons was coming out of, was showing Rome involvement in politics, how the spirit was being loose through the dictators, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, see, the political arm of the Vatican City. While Rome stood there and keep a, like you know, a holy image. And all them Jews were slaughtered. And Hitler then went on for the blame. But they were put into power by Catholic vote. Financed by Catholic wealth. You see? And all of this, when Abraham saw it in the scripture, he saw it right there. How hell the bottomless pit is open this day. He's got when he's speaking of the Beatles come out there and free love and sex and the flower people age and drugs and all these things begin to start to move. It was demons being loose. Rebellion began to come to people, the music began to change, the fashion began to change, everything began to change because it was that lid. He said the lid was taking off of hell and demon powers come streaming out. But the thing is, you know, we look at it and we think like it's people not too social as they used to be and not too moral as they used to be. And, you know, we try to tell people values and try to encourage them. But it's rarely, when we look at the scripture, we see what is happening. Because it must come to that so you can wipe it off with atomic power again. And the righteous can walk on the ashes of the wicked back into the millennium. And that's where all these things here fit in, where we're trying to lay a foundation to show you why God has to destroy it. Because it's all through the Bible here where you have to do those things after his mercy has been spoken, after man has destroyed his creation. The very one who the creation belongs to, the meek who is going to inherit the earth. He's going to come to a place just and he can't even buy or sell, he can't even get a job. We squeeze your kind of worship on the very earth that you belong to. I was given to you to live on and worship God. Because Satanic power has moved and taken over. You see the hour that this country, let's all stand to our feet. Just trying to, you know, bring a familiarity with some of the terminology as we could really bring a break into it and trying to go as slow as I could. Because I speak a little fast, my accent is a little different, but I really want to bring some of these things to you that I believe that we could see in this hour that we are living in. Such a crucial time. Such a time to be desperate. Such a time to have a real hunger and a thirst in our hearts. To have a real walk with God and to know we are under the token. We are sealed away in the presence of Almighty God. We walk with Him, we talk with Him. Not just coming to church and trying to keep a tradition, but walk in His presence in this hour where God has come down to dwell in them and walk in them, said the Almighty. Touch the unclean thing, be separate. And I'll be your God and you shall be my people. I'll dwell in you and walk in you. What an hour is our climax. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes tonight. Heavenly Father, it's a serious hour, Lord. Standing here tonight and just trying to go as the Holy Spirit would lead and direct. Lord, to stir up the minds of your people and put them into remembrance of the things that were spoken to us through your prophet. How we need, O God, in this hour to be reminded of what you have spoken as thus saith the Lord. And that great pillar of fire came down in this day, Lord, and spoke to him, overshadowed him with that divine presence. These things that were sealed up since before the foundation of the world, you spoke it out, Lord, giving us warning by the Holy Spirit, taking the scriptures, taking the events, identifying them to us, showing us, Lord, where we are positionally in the economy of God, the hour that we are living in. Lord, may we have a passion to know your word. May we have a cry for reaching out in the Spirit. May we have a fervent desire to please you. And say, well, Father, we realize that all these things, they're called passion and the trend and modern thinking, all these things is spirits, Lord. Demon spirits, enticing spirits, enticing and trying to seduce the people in this hour. But their God is like Abraham when he saw the sun going down and darkness was coming in and a great furnace. We were speaking about hell and all the fowls of the air was coming in, Lord, flying in. He stood there shooting them buzzards of the sacrifice. The prophet said that represented the sons of Abraham in the last days, who will be standing in the evening time when the sun is going down, when darkness is moving in, Lord. Oh, God, when hell is here. Lord, shooting them evil spirits off, Lord. Pushing the bride upward by the word, Lord. Causing her, Lord, in this hour to stay under the vision, under the inspiration of the breaking of those seven seals. I want to reveal to us when the Lord himself descended from heaven, come like a thief in the night, that the one was taken, the other remained. Taking them where, Lord? Where the carcass is there, when the eagles be gathered together. Taking them, Lord, to feed upon the unfailing body word. Oh, God. Father, I'm here tonight. Lord, we looking at these things, Lord, that seem so mysterious, seem so hard to understand. But your prophet says just along the time when you come to take your bride, the rest of that seventh seal will be revealed. Oh God, these mysterious things that we pondered over them through these years, you make it so plain and so unreal and so simple that we can see, Lord. Lord, what was in your mind? We can see all your work to your prophet. We can see, oh God, where we are in this hour and what is happening. Help us, oh God, to break into that channel tonight. I pray that God, my way of speaking and bringing this word tonight was not confusing to your people, but Lord, it will cause them to take a closer look, Lord, to recognize the very things that we are familiar with in our natural environment is what the scripture speaks of, Lord. It's nothing in some foreign place, it's not something in outer space somewhere. It's something right or wrong us, Lord. Oh God, the very thing that John saw in symbols. Father, we are looking at it, Lord, in reality form. But Lord, we fail to recognize it is the very symbols being revealed round about us. I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, oh God, it's so breathe upon us, Lord. Cause us to see cause us to envy, cause us to understand, Lord, cause us to recognize, hallelujah, where we are, Lord, the Lord and me. See the modern events, oh God, taking place. We'll recognize, Father, Lord, vindicated prophecy. You spoke to your prophets becoming clear before our eyes. As you look at it, Lord, through the prophetic word that you have left with us. Father, I pray tonight that these things have now been spoken as we begin a little background. Lord, that you would come tomorrow night and begin to build upon it, Lord, and open up, Lord, even the simplest child, oh God, and here would understand the young people, oh God. Father, there's a pressure upon them in this hour that they too will see, Lord, the things in the environment that is taunting them, Lord, and enticing them, Lord, that what it really is, and the hour, oh God, is upon the earth. And to know, Father, there's a few more days of grace left. Hallelujah! Because, Lord, soon the covenant will be annulled. It wasn't an eternal covenant. It was an everlasting covenant, Lord. Hallelujah! When the last name is splashed in that Clorox, oh God, there'll not be another one saved. Though we remain here for 1,000 years, I pray, oh God, tonight, Father, your Holy Spirit, Lord, would cause us to look in, Lord, believing that the hour is right, Lord. It's timely when we should recognize, hallelujah, Lord, the things that are taking place wrong about us. For we see wars moving to kill off the whole world. We see famine and depression, a global financial collapse. Oh, God, the man of sin. Oh, Lord, get ready, Lord, to be revealed where your bride will be taken away somewhere between the binding of the chairs and the revealing of the Antichrist. And, Lord, we realize that long again, then may in these services your Holy Spirit come close to us and keep pushing us upward. That the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Oh, God, this Satan's Eden, all this glamour and shine, all this iron pyrite. Oh, God, we look away from this, Lord, and by faith, as we get under the inspiration of the message of the hour, we'll see that new civilization that is coming. Hallelujah! The same way Noah could look and see it, Lord, may we break in that place where we can see there's another civilization coming. There's another horizon, the light breaking between mortal and immortality. Oh, God, shining between a dying world of corruption and a bright new shining day. Hallelujah! When we see that morning star saying to us, Shalom, Shalom. Oh, God, the dawning of a new day, a new age, going back to that seventh morning. Hallelujah. To live with you, that company, a 1,000 years of peace. Hallelujah. Help us in these services, Lord. Let the world become real to us. Let it empower our hearts. And let it cause us a monk with eagle wings. I pray and I ask it, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Let's sing another song. Amen. There's never been a day.
Never been a day like this day to me.
Oh, there's never been a day as the light comes.
Never been
this day, and he reveals himself from glory to glory to glory. What a day! Time to leave everything off and concentrate on this. Amen. Concentrate. See, the brother gave us enough to digest for a whole month.
Amen.
I wish it was so much and it's so good. I just wish he had something that maybe I like brother. Brother Jenkins brings, and he shows us here, it was tremendous, the things that he brought. Maybe some of you missed a little bit, but if we could just grasp that, I think it will shake you up. Just what he's trying to bring to us. Show us where we're at. Amen. And show us the time that has passed and where we're standing at right now. If we could just grasp that, what he was trying to tell us. It's tremendous. Amen. May God help us this next few days. Just prayer and pray for the brother. Pray for him. He has quite a message here for us, I believe. Amen. Quite things that are for us this day, for this time that we're in. It's critical that we understand these things. Amen. It's between life and death. So, as you go home, pray tonight. Pray for the brother. God gives more inspiration. Amen. And pray for your ears. They give you understanding. Amen. So that we can understand this thing and get closer and closer to him. We're in a rapture time. Time of the going away. May God bless you. The service tomorrow will be at 6:30. El servicio mañana será a las 6:30. Dios les bendiga. There's never been a day like this day. Amen. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day.